And welcome to the program. Scott Petrek of the Chronicle Telegram follows the Browns, reports on them, also brownzone.com, and you can follow him on Twitter at Scott Petrek. Good morning, Scott.
How are you guys?
Great. All right, tonight, Monday Night Football. I don't know, there's a doesn't seem to be as the energy that sometimes it is, maybe because of maybe the lack of the fans that might be there. Maybe it's because the Indians decided to throw out a story yesterday that leaks about their name. You know, there's always some kind of a different headline, but we're ready for the Ravens and the Browns tonight. Added to that, that the Steelers lost last night, so it makes for an interesting couple of games ahead, don't you think?
Yeah, it certainly does. I think if you're a huge Browns fan, I think there's a ton of excitement for this game. You know, I think the pandemic affects everything, and that includes the atmosphere and how much people pay attention to things. But it's a giant game. I still think the Browns are a big underdog to win the division, even with the Steelers losing last night. So much would have to go the Browns' way. But if the Browns beat the Ravens tonight, then that would put them one win away from clinching a playoff spot, the wild card spot, and it would really hurt Baltimore's chances. So this is a huge game.
When we started the season losing to the Ravens, it almost felt like, okay, here's that team we're going to have to be chasing. No one was thinking about the Steelers pulling ahead as fast as it was.
Right.
Where is it now? The Ravens are sort of, as they sort of fighting to just to stay into the picture, and the Browns are sort of on this somewhat roll.
Yeah, you know what? It reminds me of last year a little bit. The Browns beat the Ravens in Baltimore in week four, and both teams were 2-2. And there was so much excitement about the Browns heading into last season and the talent that they had accumulated on the roster, that I felt, and I wasn't alone, that was kind of the turning point in the division. Okay, here the Browns are ready to take off, and the Ravens are going to kind of stumble. And that was the exact opposite. The Browns finish 6-10, and the Ravens win their next 12 to go 14-2. And this isn't identical to that, but it reminds me of that a little bit. The Browns get blown out week one. People are uncertain about what they're going to do under new coach Kevin Stefanski. The Ravens are coming off that great year. They have Lamar Jackson as the MVP. You know, I assumed that they were going to win the division again. And instead, they've stumbled. And, you know, part of that is they had a huge COVID outbreak. They also just haven't been playing as well. Lamar Jackson hasn't been playing as well. They've had some key injuries. They lost, I think it was 4-5 or 3-4 at one point before they got the win Tuesday night against the Cowboys. So they're still really talented, but they're not the unstoppable force they were a year ago. In the meantime, the Browns have figured out some stuff under Kevin Stefanski. Baker Mayfield's playing a lot better. And, you know, they're clearly the second best team in the division right now. Maybe not from a talent perspective, but in the standings, you know, they're two games ahead of the Ravens.
What have you seen from the Ravens as far as this week leading up to that, either in contact with players and as much contact as you have or the coach? What comments are there? What's their thoughts and your interpretation of them?
Yeah, the couple of things that stood out to me. We talked to John Harbaugh on a conference call, and you know, he said after the opening game, right, the Browns lose 38-6. And he said at the time, hey, they're a really good team. And he said, you know, everybody rolled it. You guys rolled your eyes at me when I said that. He goes, but I meant it. And he said, I think it's proving out. You know, and he said it. The Browns have been building talent for years. And it just kind of worked out that now they're winning games, right? We could see it coming. And, you know, the time has arrived. And then Lamar Jackson talked about coming off COVID and how he's re-energized and, you know, to be back around teammates. Because really now the only time you get to see your teammates is really at practice or in games. So he's excited to be back around them. He played well Tuesday night against the Cowboys in his first game back. So, you know, the fear is, if you're the Browns, Lamar Jackson plays at that MVP level that he did a year ago. And that means a combination of running and passing.
Where does it put Baker into the mix of seeing the who's on the other side? You know, it's not – your quarterbacks are not opponents to each other, but they are. You know what I mean?
Right.
So how is that going to feed into what he's doing and his sort of ego that he brings to the game?
Yeah, I think it's definitely a factor. You know, Baker would try to downplay it. But they were same draft class. You know, Baker at number one. Lamar, I think, was number 32. The Ravens traded back up into the bottom of the first round to get him. A little bit of an afterthought there, even though he was a Heisman Trophy winner, just like Baker, even though he had crazy numbers and crazy athleticism. So I do think Baker gets some motivation in that area. But the true test is the Ravens' blitzing aggressive defense. The Browns have to figure out a way to counter that. And when you talk to Coach Stefanski this week, he mentioned it a couple times. The way you have to beat a defense that blitzes as much as the Ravens do is to make big plays against it. So that means you got to protect long enough to give your receivers a chance to beat the one-on-one coverage they have, and then the receivers have to beat it. So I think that's going to be a huge key to this game, whether or not the Browns can make the Ravens pay for how aggressive they are on defense.
Scott, any injuries we need to be concerned about on the Browns side?
Yeah, Denzel Ward, the number one cornerback, is missing his third straight game at the calf strain. Receiver Kadarius Hodge will miss his second straight game with a hamstring strain. That's not the end of the world. The Denzel Ward one is big. Maybe not as big because the Ravens don't throw it as much as some teams do, but still big because he's your second-best defensive player. Now, we don't know about tight end Austin Hooper. He showed up on the injury report Friday with a neck injury. Kevin Stefanski said it's not serious. He said he's truly questionable for tonight, but NFL Network reported that he's not expected to play. So they could be without their top tight end. You know, they missed him. They played without him for a couple games in the middle of the season because he had an emergency appendectomy. And they have some depth there, but they would miss him if he doesn't play.
Talking to Scott Petrick of the Chronicle-Telegram. You can follow him at Scott Petrick on Twitter. Also, brownzone.com with lots of stories as well. One of the things you have listed on that site about the numbers, and this is just one of those where you look at it and you think, Nick Chubb needs 76 yards to pass Ernest Biner on the all-time rushing list for the Browns. And sometimes you think to yourself, really? How long has Nick Chubb really been here, and how did he get these numbers so quickly? I mean, what does that say, I guess, in sort of our perception of things a little bit?
Yeah, I mean, it's only Nick's third year, you know, and he didn't even become a starter until halfway through that rookie year. You know, I think it's two things. It's, yes, he's off to an incredible start. And it's also that it takes a while for guys to pile up numbers. You know, I would think that Ernest Biner would have way more than Nick Chubb could get in 3 years, but, you know, Biner didn't. And I think Biner was here a handful of years. I just think it means that if I said, hey, how many yards do you think Ernest Biner have? You would say, you know, more than 3,000 or 3,500, but it's not, you know. And Nick Chubb will continue to climb up that list because he's been that good.
And, of course, with the two of them, do you think they'll both get 1,000 yards this season? I mean, that's a long way to go, but it seems to be, if they are, there's obviously things that are going well, and they're able to share the ball and actually, you know, move forward with it.
Yeah, you know what? It's going to be close. Kareem Hunt did not have a huge numbers game last week against the Titans, and to me it put him behind schedule. I've no doubt Nick Chubb will get there. But I think Hunt's the guy to watch. Now, what will be key for the Browns is that game against the Jets coming up in a couple of weeks, because that feels like a game where the Browns will be able to do whatever they want. And if Hunt's behind schedule, he could get back on schedule. And I do think, you know, assuming the playoffs are in hand, assuming the win against the Jets is in hand, that would be something they would chase. So you probably put it above, just slightly above 50-50, the chances of both of them getting to 1,000 yards rushing, which they would be only the sixth running back tandem in NFL history to do that. Of course, Kevin Mack and Byer did that for the Browns in 1985.
You remember, Scott, covering the Browns, we just tried to get a 1,000-yard rusher on this team. There was a long period of time where you're like, who do we get in for this year to get some yards? So there seems to be a lot of stuff that's coming together this season, and we hope, you know, it'll continue on playing meaningful games in December. Are you sure you can write about those?
Well, yeah, I have confidence in myself that I can write. I'm not sure I appreciate the doubt you guys have that I can handle some meaningful games. but actually, I think we'd be writing about him into January. I think the Browns are going to make the playoffs, and at least January 9th or 10th, we're going to have a playoff game to cover in his first time in 18 years.
Wow, that's great. Well, we want to also give you a moment to give some shouts to your Wildcats, Northwestern now in the Big Ten Championship. What's the scheme for them this coming Saturday?
Yeah, I should probably bask in that right now, because it's going to be tough for them against the Buckeyes. I mean, last thing I looked, they were 20-point underdogs. you know, Ohio State, I'm sure, will be motivated not only to get to the playoffs. You know, they didn't play Michigan, so they had the extra week to get healthy, and I'm sure they wanted to play Michigan, so they'll have all that motivation. So it's going to be tough for the Cats. They're going to have to get some turnovers on defense and control the ball on the ground to hang around. But it'll be tough because the Buckeyes are obviously more talented.
Yeah. All right. Well, we appreciate your time, and we'll look for your well-written stories all week long, Scott, following you on Twitter as well. Thanks for your time this morning. Appreciate it.
Thanks, guys.
Scott Petrick of the Chronicle-Telegram joining us this morning, talking Browns football and a little bit of Northwestern. He's a proud alumni.